Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and it's time for this week's One Last Thing with co-host Slava Cooperstein. Slava, how are you doing?
Doing great, Ken. I'll take a win any way we can get it. And, it's a nice week here in Baltimore before the Battle of the Beltway.
Really is. And, you know, coming out of this game with a divisional win, coming out with a better tiebreaker situation after, you know, 2 weeks of playing the Bills and the Bengals really has got us thinking about who's the competition in the AFC. And one of the nice things, you can't always win by the whack-a-mole method, which means you're finding the flaws in the other teams to push them down the rankings. But it's really nice that the AFC doesn't really have an emergent team right now. They don't have a team that's above the others. But if it would be, it might be the Ravens right now.
Yeah, this is about as flawed an AFC as I can remember. I don't think there's any team that's truly firing on all cylinders. I think each of the teams, even among the contenders, have identifiable flaws that could spell doom for them down the line. And, you know, quite frankly, the AFC North is not the division that people thought it was going to be going into the season. So, and that benefits the Ravens tremendously, who are looking to quickly separate themselves as the class of the AFC North and the AFC.
Yeah. All right. Well, we thought we'd discuss this from the very bottom up. So we have a handful of teams that we don't really believe are contenders. You want to start by taking us through some of those, or how would you like to do it?
Yeah, sure. I can start with the Patriots, who are at the very bottom. I think Gerard Mayo has his team playing hard, but they are really operating from a significant talent deficit, which will take them a few years to dig out of. Bill Belichick certainly was not the GM that he was a coach. And so I think they're still feeling the effects of that talent deficit, particularly on offense. We'll see what Drake May can bring to the table, as he's been announced as the starter this coming week. But I'm not expecting too much.
That change, and the Commanders went through it and installed Jaden Daniels before they spent a lot of their cap. So the Commanders, for instance, this year are sitting on about $25 million of cap that they can roll into next year when they already have $100 million of effective cap ready to go. So they could have as much as close to $125 million still left. Now, they'll probably make a move or two this year to try and make the playoffs, but the Patriots are kind of in that position. And if they find out who they have with Drake May this year, which makes a lot of sense, then next year, they could be somebody. And really nice to see them beat the Patriots in week one, but they haven't shown a lick of quality play since.
Yeah, absolutely. And so just, not too far above them would be the Jaguars. And I think the Jags certainly have, one would think that they have the quarterback situation figured out, but that, really hasn't gone very, very well this season. And it's really hard to say why. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, Trevor Lawrence could be better than he is right now. He could certainly improve his play, and he's been a better quarterback in the past. Expectations were sky high for him. I think people, if they looked at across all of the years recently, since Mahomes at least was drafted into the league, and there were thoughts that Mahomes was going to be very good, but I think a lot of people looked at his size and weren't really good. I think that he is the quarterback that people thought the most of coming out of school and thought the most in advance of with Trevor Lawrence, but he hasn't played that well, and frankly, defense has been even worse. Defense is probably the worst defense in the entire National Football League right now. That is really saying something, because there's some horrific defenses out there, the Bengals, the Commanders, who just can't get the can't get anybody on the ground. The Jaguars are extraordinarily bad.
Yeah, and I would say that the disturbing thing really about Trevor Lawrence is that he seemed to be progressing year over year, and to see him regress at this stage in his career without any apparent injury to speak of. I don't think that they're tremendously more shorthanded on the offensive side of the ball than they were last year. I can't say that I've looked at every single player on their roster, but that's priority one, is figuring what's going on in that aspect.
Absolutely. And they've now made their commitment to him through 2030, if you include the void years. And it's going to be a bumpy road for them if he cannot be the guy.
Yep. So moving on is, probably the division rival that we're least afraid of in the AFC North, which is the Cleveland Browns. It's not that shocking from the perspective of Deshaun Watson just hasn't proven to be the quarterback that everybody thought he could be. He did show a flash right before he got injured last year. I think he played probably the best two quarters of football he played as a Brown against us before he went out last year. But he hasn't improved at all. The offense is anemic and misfiring, and it's a shame because this is probably the roster that has the most talent relative to how bad the output is overall.
Yeah, that could well be. I mean, obviously they have a lot of mid-career stars now who are on big fat contracts. They knew this was coming. They were working on the window principle, and the window has just slammed right on their fingers in terms of what's going on. It's a very bad situation. Worst offense in the league. The defense is just middle of the pack, which is also disappointing that, a group that has Myles Garrett and Ward and others can't seem to get it together and play better football than, other people had predicted, or as well as other people had predicted. But they're right in the middle of the pack by whatever measure you want to look at, DeVoa or others. I mean, just it's not an exceptional football team and not one to be feared really at this point at all.
Definitely not. So moving on up, starting to maybe see a little bit of light at the end of this crap tunnel is we'd be looking at the Las Vegas Raiders, who, let's not forget that they beat us early on in the season. The common theme here is lack of talent at the quarterback position, or lack of production, at least at the quarterback position. And so that's a huge issue here. They certainly have a couple of stars, particularly along the defensive line, but Davante Adams, his hamstring seems to be flaring up now and again. So it looks like a team that's getting ready to implode.
Yeah, and I think you're implying that, but I want no part of a player who is tying his health to his team he's playing for. I want no part of that player, and that does seem to be what's happening right now. The last player who did that in Baltimore didn't get away with it. It was Jared Gaither. He was a guy who came up with an injury after he, and I used air quotes there if you couldn't tell from the inflection, who came up with an injury as soon as he got moved off of left tackle. And honestly, there was no reason to move him off left tackle other than he was a really lousy teammate. He's a guy who was a very good player on the field and been great in 2008 and 2009, exactly the tonic the Ravens needed to drive that, the young offense how it needed to go. Very good offensive line across the board, or had no business replacing him from a talent perspective. But as a teammate, he was immediately thought of horribly, and it was something that hung on from his time at Maryland. Anyway, Davante Adams has that possibility of, for the rest of his career, being a guy who is a declining talent but a increasing pain in the ass in terms of what's going on. It won't necessarily happen. He might get back in a good situation, play well again, shut the hell up because he's getting the football. If he goes to the Jets, that's probably what will happen. But I think he'd be completely the wrong pickup for the Ravens.
Yeah, not much to add there. I mean, I think certainly without Devontae Adams on the field, Adams really was making all of the plays against the Baltimore Ravens. He had to be perfect, and he was against us. And without that juice on offense, the Raiders really don't have much to go with.
All right, I'll step in with the next one. The Miami Dolphins, I think, are in that bottom tier of non-contenders, which now is up to five teams in the AFC that are just completely out of the playoffs at this point, from my perspective. Terrible offense, a bad defense, really bad injury news this week. Devon Achane now out. I have not heard the extent of the injury, but it seems to be pretty serious because he's going on IR. Tua, obviously, with the multiple concussions. Even if he does come back and play again, it will be frankly, just a matter of time, in my opinion, before it happens again. So his remaining games in the NFL, if I had to over under it, I'd probably put it somewhere under 20. I don't know exactly where, but somewhere under 20 in terms of total additional games of football he'll ever play.
Yeah. I mean, this is all certainly anecdotal on our part, but when I'm thinking of the top 15 worst concussions that I've ever seen in the NFL, and again, this is, I'm not looking at any medical information. I'm not a medical expert or anything, but just by look, four of those are Tua's, and that's not a good place to be. The McDaniels group never struck me as a particularly mentally tough team. In the nature of football they play, as a very front runner kind of, when things are going well, they're going well. I don't know that they have the stuff to, even if Tua comes back midseason, I think they've dug themselves a deep enough hole that it's not going to matter. And they weren't, quite frankly, they weren't playing that great when Tua was back there. I think last year was, they caught lightning in a bottle and injuries caught up to them, and that might be the end of their window.
Yeah, certainly they're getting more expensive at wide receiver. A lot of things are happening to that team that are going to make it more than a minor dig out for them. I'll go on to the next team. These next teams, I think there are three that are kind of on the fringe of the wild card race. And there are, I've got them ranked 10, 9, 8 here. We've kind of agreed on this order here. At number 10, I have the Titans. I don't think they're completely out of it. There are some people who think they're gone at this point, but Will Levis has been bad so far, but he could improve. As a young quarterback, you've got that possibility. And the Tennessee defense is actually pretty decent. It's one of the better units in the league, somewhere in the top 10. It's a team that, in a very weak AFC, certainly could be in contention for a long time for one of the last wild card spots.
Yeah, I would say that the Titans are I think their best argument for them being well positioned is that the just where they are in their division, right? The AFC South is pretty weak outside of the Texans. And so good defense plus potential ascending quarterback play can take you a decent amount of the way. And we're going to be, we obviously haven't mentioned the Colts yet, but if Anthony Richardson doesn't come back, we could be looking at the Titans taking advantage of a weak division and just a generally weak conference.
You're not believing in Flacco mania then. I have the Colts another spot up, as you worked on the list with me, but Joe Flacco's, his late career resurgence is amazing, and it really looks like he may sneak in through the back door to the playoffs again this year, which is to me is incredible. He set some record. I think it was the number of consecutive games. He's the oldest player ever with two touchdowns and 300 yards passing in five consecutive games. So he just set that this week at 359, and I think three touchdowns, no interceptions this last week. But the guy still can throw the fastball, and it's very interesting as we go to more quarterbacks who are more like Lamar in terms of their desire to see the route break open. Joe Flacco still has an amazingly accurate back shoulder fastball that receivers have to be, you know, not only on point with their break out of to even get turned around and catch, but they have to be very careful with where their hands are and all that. It's just he has still got a very good arm.
Yeah, no, Flacco's definitely playing well. He's picking up where he left off last year playing for the Browns. Makes you wonder what his career might have looked like had you know, had the latter half of his Ravens career had a couple things stacked you know, a different way. I think Flacco takes some of the you know, should accept some of the responsibility for how it went, and you know, the Ravens in terms of the talent they put around him. But he's definitely showing after even after a few years and sort of the purgatory of the Broncos, whom we skipped over, but we'll get to. You know, and the Jets, you know, it's incredible to me that the Colts were the only team that made him any offer. It's unreal.
You know what's funny is read around the boards in the National Football League. And I do this. I like to read around the divisional boards as much as I can just to keep up on what's going on. And also just to see how the fans are feeling about the team. But Browns fans are pissed off that Flacco was allowed to leave. They are so angry about it. And they think they're trying to project their feelings on the situation a certain way, but they think that it was because Deshaun Watson didn't want the competition, or maybe Stefanski didn't want the competition for Watson, such that he'd be hearing about why aren't you replacing this buffoon with Joe Flacco, a perfectly fine quarterback on the bench. And
right. No, I think it's very reasonable to conclude that the ownership and the GM who signed off on this massive investment would say we're making an admission before the absolute last moment that they have to make the admission that they made a mistake by trading for and paying Deshaun Watson the ridiculous amounts that they did. So why didn't the what about what Russell Wilson or Justin Fields in the last yeah. year, you know, what about them makes you feel any better about them than what Joe Flacco did? Joe Flacco, who has experience playing in the AFC North, you know?
I don't know that you need three quarterbacks. If you know, once you've made the Russell Wilson mistake, you're kind of out of mistakes to make when you're the Steelers. And they got Justin Fields too, of course. And neither of them looks exceptionally good, of course. I'm the fact that the Colts fans love him, the Browns fans love him. He's a 39-year-old guy. I mean, he's the new George Blanda of the National Football League right now. It's incredible this is happening. Flacco once said he thought he could play to 45 himself at the podium, which is it was hard not to crack a smirk at that point when he said it. But it might actually happen. He might be around 3 years from now. And have a Vinny Testaverde-esque career that lasts into his mid 40s.
Yeah, absolutely. So we did skip over the Broncos. I think the Broncos are sort of in a similar place as the Titans. Can the rookie quarterback sort of elevate his play? They're riding off of a strong defense, and of course Sean Payton is a coach that has maintained. He just is a strong standard for coaching and experience, and if he can get anything out of Bo Nix, or if anybody can get anything out of Bo Nix, it certainly would be Sean Payton.
Yeah, I'm with you there, and I think you covered it very well in terms of it's a defense covering offense. And again, the ascending quarterback situations, normally rookie quarterbacks, you figure they won't make the playoffs. This is too weak a league. It's the ascending rookie quarterback is going to steal a spot somehow across this conference. It's too much weak old quarterback play in the conference for every team that's got a decent but older quarterback to make it. I don't believe it's going to happen. So let's move on and talk about the wild card contenders themselves. And really, there's only two in this group. Now, you could add one of the divisional contenders as a wild card contender, because I think they both are, if the Ravens were to not win the division. But in terms of the wild card contenders, the lower ranked of the two to me is the Chargers. They're a good defense right now, carrying a lost offense. And it's a little surprising to me that you can't manage your way through what the Chargers have in terms of defensive assets with a good game, a Greg Roman scheme. They certainly have all of the Greg Roman players again, except for Lamar Jackson. That's the somewhat key missing element of that, that they have, you know, instead have Herbert there. But Herbert isn't bad, and you would figure that you'd be able to have enough scheme wise to run the football effectively, to pass it effectively. I don't think they're there. And now the very serious injuries at offensive tackle they've had really are a black cloud over the team.
You said you spent some time on the message boards. What are the Chargers fans saying about your good friend Greg Roman over there?
No, you know, I have not done that yet, and I need to. I will make that a plan for today, is to go to the Chargers sports. I mostly go in division. I look at the Bengals fans. I don't want to take too long on this, but maybe just 30 seconds. The Browns fans, incredibly intelligent fans, truly dedicated fan base. They love their team. They love their football. They really have a lot of knowledge. Probably the most knowledge in the division. The Steelers are not bad either. The Ravens fans have become really exceptional. I think the community here for analytics is pretty good, but the Browns fans are the top knowledge group in the division. And it's not enough for them to just start a new thread on why the season is over or everything sucks or fire so-and-so. They have to make it funny too. And that's what makes it such good reading, is to go over those boards and just see everybody's, you basically has to put a misleading title of the thread, and then you open the thread and it immediately hits you with a punchline, and it's very well done. If you'd appreciate it, and they spend some time in comedic writing.
Yeah, I have a strong feeling that you will be reminded of Greg Roman's last year or two here in Baltimore once you take a look at those message boards. Yeah, that passing game needs to get going. Offensive line's a tough situation, but Jim Harbaugh has done a hell of a job everywhere he's gone. He is a success breeding machine, and if he can, you know, cobble together what pieces they have, and they do have pieces, they ought to be able to make some noise towards the end of the season.
Yeah, they all ought to be in the playoffs, but you know, the two teams that have a really good chance to blow it are the Chargers and our next team on the list,
the Jets. Who are in full blown kind of disaster mode. Saleh got fired earlier this week. There's accusations that Aaron Rodgers is the reason behind it, because Saleh wanted to fire his close personal friend Nathaniel Hackett. It's at the end of the day, whatever you think about Saleh, I mean, I don't think he's impressed terribly much in the time that he's been there. Aaron Rodgers needs to step his game up. He has not been the throws he was making against the Vikings. I just don't know what he was seeing. Mm-hmm. And some of those throws, yeah, there were some like very good plays that the defenders made, but other throws, what were you even thinking throwing into that area of the field?
Do you trust Aaron Rodgers at this point? If let's say they go out and get Devontae Adams, even so you improve the offensive situation around him, which is not terrible. They've got some receivers. They've got Garrett Wilson, who seems to be getting. They're feeding him like Wilt Chamberlain in the post right now. He got 22 targets in the last game. But if you look at this team, do you trust Aaron Rodgers, even with a major addition, to turn this offense around?
It would certainly help, right? It would definitely be a completely different dimension, and Rodgers really just likes his guys. So that chemistry between him and Devontae Adams, I think, would come back pretty quickly. I mean, he really, really loves his guys. That's why Alan Lazard is getting targets like a receiver who's twice as talented as he is. Mm-hmm. I don't think so. But at the end of the day, if you are the GM and you are the ownership at the Jets, I think you've already committed, right? You've committed to a very, very old quarterback who is now coming off an Achilles surgery. So at this point,
didn't you know it's possible to get THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium 100% federally legal THC directly to you. I'm talking about delicious, high-potency gummies, top-shelf flower, home-baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary, you can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door.
And every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code RAVENS. So head to mood.com/ravens, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code RAVENS when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
You're just paying for the chance to play at the championship. And, you know, you're doing basically what the LA Rams sort of did, and it worked out for them. And if you're already committed, I don't think it's time to be gun shy at this point. So, you know, maybe I don't trust them, but I don't think that they have a choice.
Yeah, I think that's well stated. So two teams are in the division, and they also pretty much happen to be probably the next two teams I would have in these 4 and 5 spots anyway. Talk about either one. Who would you like to talk about first?
Yeah, let's start with the Bengals. This win was so critical for us because, you know, the Bengals are definitely, you know, whether you want to say they're a top five, top six team in the AFC, they are up there. And to get them down to 1-4 is a hole that's almost impossible to dig out of. Now, the Bengals have made a habit of doing this over the past couple of years. I don't think they've gotten as bad as 1-4. I think they've maybe done like 0-2 a couple times. But 1-4 is with a division loss at home is a really, really bad hole to dig out of. And with a team that may have, you know, the best, second best, third best offense in the entire AFC, I mean, it certainly contends. I'd say the Bengals have the best offense. The Steelers have the best defense in the AFC North. Those are the two units, probably, if you're splitting it up into quadrants like that. Those are two of the top units. And we saw what it looks like. There aren't many teams. I think the only other team with a 1-2 punch at receiver like the Bengals have would be the Dolphins. Yeah. Yep. And, you know, pick and choose how you go, but I'd probably go with the Bengals pair. You know, they're just so dynamic. They're so difficult to cover. And they've just dug themselves into a tremendous hole.
Yeah, I completely agree on the Bengals. I have them at number 5. I still think they're a favorite to make the playoffs from 1-4. I'm looking at the rest of the AFC, and it's just, you know, they have to beat out the Titans, the Broncos, and the Colts. So, okay, I mean, it's not going to be easy. They might have to get in at 9-8, but I you know, even if one of those teams were to go on a run and finish 10-7 or 9-8 and, you know, potentially have a tiebreaker against them, I think there's a good chance either the Chargers or the Jets implode from here on and don't make it. So I really don't see the Bengals missing the playoffs. I think they'll be there. And I think it means the Ravens will have to deal with them potentially twice more as the season goes on. Now, any remaining game should be in Baltimore at this point. But yeah. But it's not an absolute sure thing. Bengals have to have an incredible number of things go right for them to win the division from this spot. But they you know, the implied odds on them is still about 10% that they'll win the division. It's not zero, and I think the gambling public basically has it right that it shouldn't be zero. And you know, looking at the rest of the talent in the division, I mean, the Ravens have their own flaws. The Steelers certainly have their own flaws, and the Bengals are awfully good on one side of the ball.
Yeah, I think the biggest difference between the Bengals and the Steelers, who we have one spot higher, is that Bengals are finding ways to lose close games. Steelers are finding ways to win close games.
Yeah,
I think it comes down to a couple things. You know, the Steelers defense allows them to keep those games closer. It's like having an incredible offense and a terrible defense like the Bengals do oftentimes will result in who got the ball last. That's who's going to win. And you know, I don't think Zach Taylor is a terribly excellent coach. I mean, he's definitely had some success, but Tomlin, I know that the Steelers fans certainly are split on their opinion of him, but he's been there and done that, and he certainly knows how to rack up those wins throughout the season, and so that's what we're seeing with the Steelers so far.
Yeah, good motivator, good leader. He is probably the single worst game manager, game decision maker that there is in the AFC North. And he consistently leads in a category called cowardly punts that analysts look at. Really doesn't like, I don't think, to listen to the analytics guy on the headset, if they even have one. But you know, it's one of these things where the Steelers make some befuddling judgments in terms of what to do when they punt the football and the trust that they put in their defense in doing so. But he's still got a lot of that old school coaching mentality, but you can't argue with the results. He's certainly been a winner. Some Steelers fans, you know, crave a reset. They treasure the fact that the Steelers have been so long with a winning record or a 500 record or better, but they crave a reset just because it'll give them an opportunity to get a higher draft pick one time, which they never get. You know, they've been constantly drafting no higher than about 15th. The times when they have had better picks in the now distant past with Roethlisberger and with Polamalu, with times where they picked up franchise caliber players, and it is a difficult row to hoe being consistently mediocre in the NFL.
Absolutely, and you know, I don't see that becoming any better with the Steelers quarterback situation. I do think that they approach this the wrong way because I think. You know, Russell Wilson and Justin Fields are band-aids. I mean, I guess, you know, I guess I can visualize what they think that they might have been able to do with those two guys, but it's sort of like if you have two, you don't have one. That's sort of how I view their quarterback position.
And they didn't spend an insignificant amount of money on these two guys. I certainly didn't spend an insignificant amount of draft capital either because they acquired Fields. So it's a real investment in the quarterback position. Let's move to the top three. There are three other teams besides the Ravens in the AFC who have enormously better chance to win the conference than anybody else. And for my money, the number three team in this group is the Bills. Not as scary as they finished last year. They are a good team that is balanced. That's their best asset. They certainly have the quarterback in play who could do it. He's playing great football right now, and yet the offense overall is not that great. That's the thing about it. It's one of the better offenses in the NFL, but it's eighth best, 10th best. I don't know where you'd put it, despite the fact that Allen has had a remarkable statistical year to date.
Yeah, I mean Josh Allen is playing some of the best football he's ever played. Just, you know, just watching how he plays, we got to see firsthand. He, you know, in order for the Bills to do anything against the Ravens, Josh Allen had to make 3, 4, 5 perfect throws in incredible situations, and he made them. And I think it was Coleman who corralled some of those as well. So, he may have a guy there that, you know, that by the end of the season is going to be, you know, have developed, and their running game is better than it used to be for sure. But obviously losing Diggs, their receiving core just isn't scaring anybody. And their defense, has gotten some pretty major injuries that were exposed against the Ravens.
Yeah, it's not like they aren't going to be there. They will absolutely be there in the playoffs. They will absolutely win the East. There are no other contenders to win the East. I don't believe the Jets are a significant risk of overtaking the Bills. The Jets could win a wild card, but nobody's catching the Bills, which means they're going to be a home and a tough out in January. And that's one of the things the Ravens really need to avoid. It's one of the reasons why they need to convert this opportunity to win the AFC North. They need to not end up in Buffalo in January. By the way, Buffalo is building a new stadium. They poo-pooed the idea entirely of having a dome stadium, which would make so much sense in that part of the country and with the history of snow and Buffalo and all, they want that home field advantage. They want frozen outdoor, foot deep in snow football whenever they can get it.
Yeah, I just think the NFL should require teams to build retractable domes and just have certain situations. I mean, I think if the NFL said if it would require a delay, then we're going to tell you have to close the dome because we're not going to have delays.
You know, the other thing you could do is you could say anytime there's a foot of snow on the field, we're moving the game to another city. And if you don't like it, build a retractable roof. That will change.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, we love football, you know, outdoor football weather and all that stuff. Some of the most iconic games are that way. But it's 2024. If you're investing just this ridiculous amount of money, you need to build a retractable dome.
Right.
So next we're going with the Texans. I don't think that should surprise anybody. CJ Stroud picked up exactly where he left off. Now he's added Stephon Diggs to the mix. I would say of the contenders, they have the scariest sort of offense for sure. With him and Nico Collins, and just, you know, everything's firing on all cylinders. It's a well-coached team with a quarterback who's a star. I mean, you could say this about any team, but in particular the Texans, I think, will go as far as CJ Stroud takes them. He you know, went up against the Ravens in his first, not his first playoff game, but one of his first playoff games in Baltimore, an experienced defense that likes to prey on rookie quarterbacks. It's just a matter of how much has he learned since last year.
The team is just oozing with offensive talent. I think it's actually been kind of disappointing what they've done offensively so far this year. The defense is really more carrying this team than the offense currently. And I don't expect that to continue, by the way. I expect their offense will take off and their defense will come back to earth. But, they do have some offensive line issues as well, which is probably a good part of the reason. But they are absolutely legitimately a contender for the number one seed, and the AFC could well go through Reliant at some point this year.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. Go with the number one team, not a surprise, the Kansas City Chiefs. And these are the number one of the competitors for the Ravens. I just want to point that out. A very talented and balanced team again. Mahomes not even having a great year. He's got five interceptions already. I didn't actually see if he threw another interception, if he threw a sixth interception in week five, but he might have. But he's had streaks like this before where he's thrown a few picks and then everything gets right. And the bigger concern is that they have significant injury concerns at wide receiver. We saw how wide receiver really took them down a notch, took them out of the number one seed last year. And it wasn't just wide receivers were not up to the standard they had in the past. It's wide receivers are making huge mistakes on the field and leaving him with not a whole lot of options. Well, Rashee Rice is now hurt and they're back in a little bit of trouble. Marquise Brown also had an injury. I'm not sure if he's back yet, I suppose he will be. But anyway, it's still a pretty good chance at 5-0. The AFC Championship game will be back in Kansas City this year after a 1-year hiatus. It does seem to be the most likely place that it will end up.
I believe that the scuttlebutt is that Hollywood is going to be out for the remainder of the season.
Okay,
so,
very good.
It was just a very unusual. I don't think that they made it official, but they said that it was a matter of months, not a matter of weeks. But that just underscores the issue at receiver. They've overcome a mediocre wide receiver room. Certainly, last year I think was that, and that just, that's why they invested in Xavier Worthy. That's why they invested in Hollywood Brown, because they didn't want it to be Rashee Rice and no one else. But of course, Rashee Rice and Hollywood have gone down. Xavier Worthy is a bit of a one-trick pony. He's done as well, certainly, as you could expect a rookie receiver to do. And he could certainly grow a little bit, but I don't think that there's going to be a ton more to his game, at least this season. A true NFL offseason will probably do him a lot of good. But of course, very annoyingly, Travis Kelce took over that game against the New Orleans Saints, showing that he's got juice left in the tank. And so they seem to figure it out. I mean, all of these, the Kansas City Chiefs were sort of onto something where they said, we are going to risk making our offense 75% to 80% of what it was at its height, and instead make our defense significantly better.
Yeah.
And that has paid off tremendously. I mean, they are playing really, really good complementary football. They are as well a coached team as there is in the NFL. You know, Andy Reid and those guys are in lockstep. They have a mind meld going on. They are rolling. And I think, you know, until further notice, they're the number one threat in the AFC.
As much as the Ravens offense is every bit as good and probably better than the Chiefs right now, you really have to wonder. And on defense, the Ravens, you know, you don't know what you're going to get from week to week. And some of it is, does your opponent really know how to take advantage of what the Ravens' defensive weaknesses are? And some of it is the Ravens really figuring out themselves. And we're just recording this on Wednesday at 4 p.m. And Dean Pease has just been brought in as effectively a kind of a quality control coach and consultant for the Ravens. That'll be very interesting to see his fingerprints back on this. I'm highly bullish on the move. One thing that I was a little concerned about with Orr originally was he wasn't going to be able to adapt to the dime defense because he'd come up as a will. And Dean Pease was a guy who totally eschewed the dime defense. Did not use it until it basically had to after Orr was gone. And then Anthony Levine was successful. Then Chuck Clark was successful. And the Ravens have had success with whenever they've used the dime and not been committed to the nickel. I hope that will continue because I think they've got the talent in Kyle Hamilton that it makes a lot of sense to do it. If I started seeing them going back to a committed nickel and really making Trenton Simpson a three down player and moving Hamilton to make that work, I'd be wondering if Pease really was part of that decision. So hopefully he has a positive impact. I think he should. He certainly knows a lot about football, and he can still mentor Zach Orr in some significant ways in being a good coach.
Yeah, you would expect throughout the course of the season, throughout the next couple of games, that the Ravens, and it really does seem that the defensive issues are on the back end, and they're a lot of them are very communication based and just being on the same page. And it's not even the entire back end, right? The corners are playing well.
Yep.
Most importantly, the front. So not most importantly, but importantly, the front seven is playing well. I mean, as long as that D line is healthy and they're able to consistently get pressure with four, you can get a lot done. Yep. But of course, you know, at the end of the day, you're going to be in situations in playoff games where teams, it's win or go home. So they're going to air it out. Right. And you're going to need to be able to, you know, clamp down on the back end. And, you know, so far the Ravens aren't getting what they need out of Marcus Williams. They're not getting what they need out of the safety position in total. I'm not really considering
Eddie Jackson.
Eddie Jackson's not playing well, but I was going to say I'm not considering Kyle Hamilton really as a safety when I say that. I don't think it's useful to label Kyle Hamilton a safety. He's a guy who sometimes plays safety. Yeah. So, you know, they got to figure that out sooner rather than later. And then also, you know, it was certainly encouraging, albeit against a porous Cincinnati defense, but it was encouraging to see the wide receivers step up in the way that they did. And you want to continue to see that evolution throughout the season.
Yeah. You have lots of usage questions. I mean, one of the other, if you're going to pick up a wide receiver, I think after the game Bateman just had, some of the, if Bateman made his plays after the break. And when I say that is those throws didn't occur till after the break, which is good as far as playing with Lamar Jackson goes, that he can continue on, make a play. The first one that he caught on the right sideline, took into the end zone from there. It's a fairly lengthy time that play took to develop. And it's not something that he won with his route running directly. He didn't win by winning at the top of the stem. He got wide open because they blew it. And it's just nice to see him continue on playing a route through there and being where he needs to be. I think it's kind of a fool's errand to get an X receiver that you need that to be the way they win to pair with Lamar Jackson. I think you get 75 cents on the dollar to start with, and then you also get a reduced targets and an unhappy receiver for other reasons. So I that's why I really don't want Davante Adams. If they got a wide receiver, I want it to be a gadget guy. I want it to be a guy who takes the role that Flowers is forced into because the Ravens don't have anyone else for it, takes that away from him and allows Flowers to go run more vertical routes.
Yeah, I would, you know, the way I look at the receiver room, first of all, I think that Tylan Wallace has earned more snaps.
Yeah.
He continues to make plays whenever called upon. He's looking a little bit, I mean, he's a lot younger than, I mean, not a lot, but a lot in NFL years younger than Aguilar. So I think he, you know, has, you know, we want to keep Aguilar fresh as well because, you know, he's going to be important. But, you know, at the end of the day, everybody's looking at somebody who is going to be, you know, the new number one wide receiver and is going to slot everybody else down. That guy might not be out there for the price that the Ravens are willing to pay. But is there a guy out there who can slot in comfortably as your number three wide receiver or even your number four wide receiver? Just another guy that you're going to be comfortable, you know, trotting out there, because a lot of what the most successful NFL teams are doing these days is not relying on one guy to be the superstar. They're relying on having four guys who are capable of winning their matchups. And, you know, and if one guy is being clamped down by an unreal, you know, like Pat Surtain or whatever, that the other guys on the field know what they're doing. That guy is out there.
You desperately need to have that at some positions in the NFL. Defensive line, offensive line, whatever. You need to have some positions where you save. The Ravens aren't ever going to be saving again. Not anytime for the rest of Lamar Jackson's career, we hope, because we hope it's all here. Will they save again at quarterback? So they're going to have to save at other positions, and they're going to have to figure out year by year where that is. Bunch of big contracts are now stacked up and need to be signed over the next 2 years. Going to be very difficult. It's going to be some hard cuts right to the bone in terms of who they lose. It's that I'm not looking forward to it. But getting back to the Ravens in their position within the AFC this year, to me, a win from the point they're at right now would be to get the number two seed in the AFC. It's not impossible they get the one, and the one would be better than the two. Don't get me wrong, but I think that the notion of playing home in consecutive weeks that the two seed gets is a very big advantage and one that they should be jealously attempting to guard.
Yeah, and particularly since, you know, you're assuming that the team you're going to be jockeying for number one is going to be the Chiefs, right? So you definitely don't want to be the number three, who's then going to play at the Chiefs. You want the Chiefs to have to win two consecutive, you know, playoff games.
I don't want to be the number three who would go to Buffalo as the number two, or sure. or to Houston for that matter as the number two, and then go to Kansas City. That would be really bad.
it's significantly worse. Obviously, the number one seed is what you want. You want that automatic dub the first, you know, wild card weekend, and that extra week's rest. But it's getting that number two seed is critical, and I think that the Ravens have a pretty clear path to get there. I don't see anybody currently who's really going to challenge them for that, except maybe the Texans.
Well, Texans are ahead in the standings right now. Slava, always great doing this show with you. Tell folks where they can talk football with you online.
I'm on Twitter at Slava Cooperstein. That's SlavaKuperstein.
All right. Other folks out there, if you enjoy this content, hit like and subscribe, show it to a friend, and please write a podcast review of 50 words, a 5-star review of 50 words. That's always will drive traffic to this and is greatly appreciated. Thanks again for listening. For Slava Cooperstein, this is Ken McCusick saying goodbye. We'll talk to you next week on One Last Thing.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.